Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
Amen. Amen. Last week, we started out part one, getting out of life's ruts. And I started out, and you can go back probably online and listen to that message, because I'm just going to do a very quick review because I don't want to take a lot of time. But let me explain what a rut is. Jim and I were driving. We're retired. Well, semi-retired. You never really retire. But anyway, we had some time, and we were taking our RV. After we'd had COVID, we did a second trip to see our grandson, Soren, our brand new grandson, Soren. We have 13 grandkids, and Soren made number 13. He was born in May. We went up to Oregon to visit our son. Anyway, long story short, we're driving up the 5 in California. If you've ever driven the 5 highway in California, you know what a long, boring highway it is, and it's filled with ruts in the road. Now, a rut in the road is when the asphalt actually heats up and tires have continually gone over it and over it and over it, and it actually forms these massive grooves. I think I have a picture of, okay, that's not California Highway 5, and obviously that's an old picture, but you can get stuck in these ruts. And let me give you a definition for what a rut is. A rut, it's a noun, and it means a long, deep track made by the repeated passage of wheels of vehicles, or it can be a habit, a pattern of behavior that has become dull and unproductive, but it's hard to change. And there are good ruts in our lives. We actually call those disciplines. You know, you get up, take a shower, make your bed, put your makeup on, cook breakfast, cook lunch, cook, take care of your families. Those are good disciplines. But an actual rut can be a settled and an established habit or course of action, especially a boring one, and it is actually dull and unproductive. Ruts are hard to change. They actually can become bad habits, and they can take our lives in the wrong direction. Let me give you some examples. You're in a rut when you go to the same place every summer, and it's lost its spark and its joy, or you eat the same food, or you cook the same recipes, or you find yourself going to the same places, doing the same things. You get in a life rut. You can't seem to get out of a weight. You want to try to lose weight, and you're in such a rut, you can't get out of it. It could be a habit that you want to change, or that bugs you and frustrates you, but you just can't seem to get out of it. But besides the physical ruts that we can find ourselves in, and everyone's in them. I mean, it comes and goes. And at my age now, I'll be 70 in another month. At my age, it's very easy to get into ruts, especially when life is always the same and there's no change. And that's kind of where our population has been this last year, is we have put ourselves in seclusion. We have been quarantined. We have not been allowed to do this or do that. It's been a very challenging year, and you may have found yourself in a rut. Now, you can get in a spiritual rut. A spiritual rut is far more serious, because as the spirit goes, so goes everything else as Christians. Because the spirit realm, the invisible realm, is actually where everything begins and starts. And then we know by faith that the spirit realm made the physical realm. And you and I are spirit beings. You live in a body, you have a spirit, and you have a soul. God is a spirit. And so we can get in spiritual ruts. So last week, I read off 10 things, just some ideas that you could know if you were in a spiritual rut. I might read just a few of them because I don't want to take a lot of time, but just so that if you weren't tuned in last week, let's look at some things that maybe could tell you if you are going in a rut. You read the Word of God, but it's really only a check-the-box token reading. How about this one? You pray, but your prayer is brief and repetitive. It's lost any real sense of relationship between you and God. You can't really talk about what God's been teaching you lately because you haven't been in the best spiritual condition to actually hear from him. How about this one? You feel spiritually tired. Oh, you're just dull. How about this one? You have not shared the gospel with anyone for a long time. Maybe you don't feel qualified. Maybe you feel guilty. Maybe there's under some condemnation because you've been doing some ruts that have taken you in a wrong direction. How about number 6? You go to church or you watch online with no sense of excitement or anticipation. You're faithful to watch. You're faithful to go. Well, we're not faithful to go now because the church is empty. We do need to get back to church. But you've got no expectation that worship will move your heart. How about this one? Number 7. You have and lost and are less sensitive. One of the 3. The Spirit's conviction when you're under temptation. You used to be that if God would speak to you, you would flee that temptation right away. You still fight temptation, but with a whole lot less zeal, and you find less zeal, and you find yourself getting weaker and weaker. You might have even succumbed to it. How about this one? All of your testimony, number 8, relates to what God has done in the past, and no present tense stories about what God's doing. You see, God's called us to live by faith, and he's called us to walk with him, and you can't walk with this amazing Father and this amazing Savior and the Holy Spirit without having some pretty amazing things happen in your life all the time. Doesn't mean we live on the mountaintops. There's valleys and there's plains. It's a journey, but it means that God doesn't remove his presence, and when you know him, there's a spark and there's life. How about number 9? You find yourself left less interested in hanging out with other believers. You find yourself actually not wanting to come back to church, not wanting to hear about the things of God, not wanting to be with other believers. There's a reason for that. You might be in a spiritual rut. You might have gotten and slipped away and you don't even know, but you know something's wrong, but you're not sure what it is. Number 10, your spiritual walk is really on autopilot. You do what you're expected to do, but you're really just going through the motions. That's a spiritual rut. If you've answered any of those, let's talk about it today, because like I said, we're not here to condemn. I have been in a spiritual rut. I understand these things. It's not something you're proud of, but it's something that happens in life. You don't mean to. It just, life happens, and before you know it, transitions, changes, all kinds of things can come in. And before you know it, you're living where you are not living or you want to live anymore. You're doing things you don't want to do anymore. You're doing things that you never thought you'd be doing anymore. And now all of a sudden you're going, I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. My joy is gone. What's wrong, God? Maybe you're in a spiritual rut, and God doesn't want us to stay in these broken places and these holes in the road, because we're on a journey, and God wants us to go somewhere with him. It doesn't mean that we're always going to go fast. It doesn't mean that things are like are always going to be on a mountaintop experience. Those mountaintop experiences with God are awesome, and they rejuvenate us, and they change us, and we hear God's voice. I have so many of them in my life over the years. But that's not where I live all the time. Most of the time in life, I live in the morning getting up, in the afternoon figuring something to eat for tomorrow, for tonight, cooking dinner, being with Jim, being with my family, being with church, doing my chores, doing life. That's life. Taking care of kids, learning to get along with a man maybe you don't like anymore. How about taking care of kids you don't want to take care of anymore? How about doing things you never asked to do, you don't want to do, but life has put you in this place and you got to do it? Those are ruts. If we don't learn to get out of the holes that we can dig ourselves into or that life can put us into, we can miss the excitement and the joy and the goodness of life that God wants me to have every day. You know, I was thinking about it. There's something in my life that I have that's been given to me. I don't know how much I have of it, but God says that I'm to wake up every morning and I'm to live it day by day. And this something is called time. I don't get it back. I can't go back and redo. But what I have is a gift. And God wants me to live this gift of time, knowing him, loving him, and fulfilling my purpose and doing what God wants me to do in every season of time that I have. And I was thinking, time is like money. We spend it. How do you spend your time? You see, God doesn't want me to spend my time in ruts, stuck. Can I just get that picture up one more time of that old car? Yeah, see there? I can spend a lot of time there and never get on the road again and never go where God wants me to go. And God says, Deb, I don't want you to sit in condemnation. I want to get you out of that rut. I want to get you on a smooth road with me. It's a narrow road, but there's not ruts in the road. And if you stay with me, I've already traveled the road. I know where the holes are. And we can get on this road and we can actually have an adventure before I call you home for eternity. And that's what this is all about. So last week we looked at about recognizing a rut, and we just did four things, and you can go back. Number one was to be honest with ourselves and God. This really starts with an honest heart. Just between you and God. You don't have to tell anybody else. But you know where you're at. So you got to talk to God about it, and you got to actually look at things. Two, we got to seek His grace daily. We've got to love others freely. And we've got to get back to church, because it's in church that I actually am accountable and I actually have a family and I'm actually plugged in and I actually, iron sharpens irons. And God said, listen, don't forsake the fellowship, especially as you see the day approaching. We are living in some very dangerous, perilous times. And as Jess said, we need each other, and the church is so vital and so important. And so I was going to show you a funny little video about it, but I don't have time because I've only got about 22 minutes. So I'm going to move on. And Cameron, you know, we have a whole team in a back media room that work for us and work with us. We work with them. A beautiful team. Most of them are pretty young. I call them kids because they're like grandchildren to me. They work hard. I just want to say thank you to that team, because what happens in the front, you can see. But what's really going on and bringing all this to you is that entire team back there. So I don't know, Cameraman, I don't know if you can go up and down, but we just love you, and we're just grateful for you. Thank you so much. So let's get into today, and let's talk about I want to give you three other things. There were four things last week, so we're going to do seven things to get out of a spiritual rut, out of a life rut. Are you ready? Number six. Remember, there was four, so I just flipped the page and skipped number five. Number five. That's what happens when you get old. You forget. Okay, we're in a rut. Number four was get back to church. Church is where life is. Church is going to connect you to your family. God didn't call you to do life alone. He called you to do life with each other. He's called me to be with you. But moving on to number five, getting out of life's rut. Number five is remember the law of sowing and reaping. Now, what in the world has that got to do with a rut? How do I get out of a hole in the road, a hole in life, a spiritual hole? How do I get out of that? Well, before I can change, now I've been honest with myself and God. I've prayed. I've realized that I need God's power in me to do what His truth demands of me, His grace. I realize that has to come by faith. Faith works by love. I walk in the love of God. I stay in church. Now, as I'm trying to change, let's say I want to get out of the rut of dieting. I have been in that rut since I was 10. I have tried to lose weight all my life. Now I'm almost 70, you know, in another month, and the scale just keeps going up. Everybody around me is losing weight. They're on this amazing diet. I tried it. I lost 10 pounds. I went on an RV trip with Jim. I binged, and I gained it all back in 30 days. That's a rut. That's a physical rut. So how do I get out of this? This is just one thing. I've got to remember, after I've done the other four things, I need God, because I can't do this on my own. Obviously, it's a habit I can't seem to break. I've got to remember, and I've got to remind myself about the law of sowing and reaping. Well, what is that law? In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." There are laws. There are natural laws and there are spiritual laws. There are spiritual laws in the kingdom of God and there's natural laws in this physical earth. For instance, the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. You jump off of a 50-story building, you're going down and you're going to die. Law of gravity. There's another law, a force. We've discovered the law of lift. You take a massive airplane, you put a big engine on it, it goes a certain speed, and it has a certain dynamic to its design, and the law of lift, the natural physical laws of lift, will catch a hold of that massive airplane, and it will lift up off the ground, and it will overrule the law of gravity, the law of lift. There are economic laws. Capitalism has a law of supply and demand. It says if you have something to sell and you only have so much of it, supply, but your population that is going to be looking at this item all want it, demand, then what's going to happen to that supply? It's going to be purchased and it's going to go up in value. If you have a lot of something, and nobody else really wants it, they've already got it, so you can't sell the thing, it's going to go down in value. It's an economic law of supply and demand. There are laws that we live with and we live in. In the kingdom of God, there's the law that God set on the earth of sowing and reaping. You plant corn, you are going to reap corn. You plant tomatoes, what's going to come up out of that tomato seed is a tomato plant and a tomato. What you plant is going to be what you harvest. Well, that law is an agrarian law of farming, but it's also a spiritual law of everything in your life. Let's go back to that verse. Do not be deceived. Can I have it again, Cam? God's not mocked. People may not believe in him. People may not want to know him. Like we're seeing right now in our world, they laugh at God. Oh, we're very religious. We have a lot of faith. They don't care about what God says or what God's word says. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, what you plant in your life, that man or that woman, mankind is going to reap it. Can I have the next part of that verse, Cam? For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. He's not talking about agrarian planting seeds, but he's talking about planting the seeds of my life, either in the natural world, in my carnal nature, my flesh, or in the spirit realm, in the spirit world, where I sow to the Holy Spirit and I follow his direction and I ask and he tells me what I'm to do with my life. So if I'm going to remember the law of sowing and reaping, it's a natural law and it's a spiritual law. I'm going to the refrigerator. I want to binge eat. I'm nervous. I'm bored. I'm anxious. I just had a fight with my husband. I don't like my kids. Whatever the reason, I'm using myself as an example. I open that refrigerator and there's a half a gallon ice cream there. Tillamook. Oh, my favorite. I grab a spoon. I don't get a bowl. I get a spoon. I open up that ice cream and I start eating that ice cream. And before you know it, it's half gone. Binge eating. I'm using myself as an example. But if I would stop myself and I would say, wait a minute, flesh, why don't you have a bowl? Are you supposed to eat this? Because the 3,500 calories that you're going to consume right now are going to put another pound of fat on your body that you're not going to want to live with. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You see, if we would stop ourselves before we enter into the urges of our carnal nature, our fleshly nature, the nature that has been redeemed by Jesus Christ, the nature that has been deposited out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, the nature that God says there is a grace and an unspoken and an unrealized power and ability that I have for your life that you've not even tapped into yet. And I want you to live in that slipstream of grace. I want you to live in this unrestricted power that I have for you. But before you can do this, you're going to have to stop yourself because the flesh is strong. Habits are every day. I like to eat. I like sugar. I like carbohydrates. I like things that aren't necessarily good for me. For me to actually get out of the rut and to change my life, I'm going to have to stop myself, do some self-talk, because you know what? You talk to yourself all the time, and so do I. My soul is constantly carrying on a conversation with, you know, sometimes you got a lot of voices in there, and you just go, who am I talking to? Who's in there? Holy Spirit, are you in there? Flesh, are you in there? Temptation, are you in there? Sin, I know you're around here somewhere, hovering around me, trying to tempt me. Well, soul, let's just have a discussion. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? See, David talked to his soul all the time. A little self-talk, a little healthy self-talk, where I say, soul, Debbie Cobray, put the spoon down, back away from the freezer, put the top back on the ice cream, step away, put your hands up in the air. Man, I need some spiritual police in my life. And remember, child, what you sow is what you're going to reap. If you're going to sow arguments with your husband, you're going to reap a very unhappy relationship. If you're going to sow, I just want to sit down and do nothing and chill. I don't want to work. I don't want to do this. I'm working at home. I really don't like doing this. If you're going to sow a little slothfulness, you're going to reap not being very good at what you do. Now, God has allowed us to be in this situation. Our kids are at home. We're at home. We're at home more than we've ever been. More temptation is around us. We might have gotten into some ruts. So, number five, there's a law going on of sowing and reaping. What I put into my life, I'm going to have in my life. What I plant in my life is going to actually grow a harvest in my life. What do you want to plant? What do you want to sow in your life? The 24 hours that you're up and this day that you're living in right now. So ask yourself, number five, what do I want to sow in my life today? Because I'm going to reap this tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next day. So number five, remember the law of sowing and reaping, because God's not mocked. It's operating in us. That's why, church, that's why, listen, be smart. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They've shut down our economy. You think we can just keep consuming, not being productive and working? We can shut businesses down and we just keep consuming and things aren't going to hit? There's a law of sowing and reaping here. We need to get this country back to work. We need to get this country back to believing God. We need to get this country, our kids, back in school. We need to begin to rise up and be what we're supposed to be, because we're operating in the law of sowing and reaping. So don't be stupid, and don't let fear overrule faith, because God called us to walk by faith and not by sight. And if he wants you taken out by the COVID virus, then you're going home and you have nothing to fear, because he's taken away the fear of death. But if he's called you to walk on this planet, there's not a devil in hell or one loosed on the earth that is going to take you out early. So let's stand up in faith and let's begin to be the church again. Sorry. Number six. Change your thoughts and you'll change your life. Cameron wrote up there, change the page. What book are you reading? What chapter are you in? And what are you looking at? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, anything praiseworthy, meditate, fix your mind on these things. What I look at the longest is going to become strongest in my life. What I'm thinking, change my thoughts, I'll change my life. What I'm meditating on, what my mind and my soul and my spirit are actually conjuring up, actually thinking and meditating on. You are a spirit being. You are made in the image of Almighty God. You are in an earth body right now, made of flesh. You will separate from that. It's called death, natural death. That body will go back to dust, but your spirit and your soul are made in the image of Almighty God. He's given you something that you use every day and you don't even think about it. It's the ability to image. It's called imagination. You think inside as a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs chapter 23. As a man thinketh in his heart is his soul and his spirit. As a man thinks in this invisible being that he is, this eternal being that you are, so is she. What you meditate on, what you fix your mind on, what you look at the longest is going to come strongest in your life. And I'm not talking about looking on the outside. I'm talking about looking on the inside, because you see it on the inside before you see it on the outside, because that's why you can speak. That's why you can understand. Words are containers of images. I say dog, you can think of a billion different kinds of dogs, but you have really a creature in front of you in your spirit of two ears, a nose, a tail, and four legs wagging, probably a dog. I say horse, you can see a horse. I say elephant, you can see an elephant. I say church, you have an image of a church. Where is that coming from? It's coming from your spirit and your soul. You're made in the image of God. That's why God says to the church, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What you think is going to be who you are. And if you're thinking in the old way, if you're thinking in the ways of the old kingdom where everything was fallen, where everything was about self, where everything was about selfishness, where there was nothing but fighting and wrangling and quarrels and murder and death and fornication and adultery and all of these things that are a work of the fallen nature of mankind. I've rescued you from that. I've put you in my kingdom. Now I need you to begin to image and think of yourself like I think of you. Change your thoughts, you'll change your life. Change your thoughts. Change the way you're looking at yourself. Change the way you think of what you can do and what you cannot do. I know that in my flesh, in my old nature, in the old me, I couldn't fix me. I couldn't do anything. I failed continually. But I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And where I couldn't before, I so can now. Not because I can do it, but I can do all things through the Christ, the only Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords, the one that made everything, the one that created everything, the one that holds all things together by the word of his power. This Jesus lives in me and his spirit indwells me. Change my mind, change my thinking, and I'll change my life. And I got to remember, there's a law of sowing and reaping. I'm going to eat a lot of fat. I'm going to get fat. I'm going to get back to vegetables. I'll lose some weight. Sowing and reaping. Ask yourself, what do you want to put in your body? What do you want to put in your relationships? What do you want to put in your life? What are you sowing? Because you're going to reap it. Getting out of ruts. Number six, change my thoughts, change my life. Listen, there's a story. It's true, it happened. The children of Israel, they had walked around the wilderness and they'd finally gotten to the place where God says, now you're ready to get into the promised land. Just like I told you, I brought you here. You're going to conquer this land and you're going to have fields and vineyards that you didn't plant and houses you didn't build, wells you didn't dig, but you got to go in and take it. So Moses sent 12 spies out in Numbers chapter 13. Remember that? 12 princes. They went to the land. They brought back on two poles, two men carrying it, grapes, a cluster of grapes and pomegranates and fig. It took them. It was so big and beautiful and lush that they had to carry it on poles. Two princes carried those back on poles. God knew that they would need something to image. God knew that they would need an advertisement of what they could have, what he said they could have, the promised land. So he brought back the advertisement. And the 10 spies, there was Caleb and Joshua and 10 other princes. And those princes said, oh, yeah, this is what we brought back. But there's walled cities. There's giants in the land. Oh, it's beautiful. But there's big people there. They've got weapons and warriors and armies. Who are we? We're just slaves. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. In Numbers 13:30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses because they're all upset. They said, let us go up at once and take possession for we're well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go, for they're stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, this land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You see, what you look at the longest becomes strongest in your life. What you hear and what you meditate on is actually going to take your heart and your spirit where God indwells you, and it's going to turn it in the direction that you are meditating on. That is why we've got an entire nation right now that is turned and quarreling and fighting each other. We haven't looked at what's good about America. We haven't looked about how far we've actually come. We're only looking at what's wrong. We're not looking at what's right. We're not looking at what we can do with God on our side. Until America comes back to God, until America comes back to morality and God, and that God established this nation, we will fight and squabble and split apart, and don't think it can happen because it can. But I'm in America, but I'm not of America. I'm in America, but I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I'm in the kingdom of God. I will do my assignment here. This is where God's planted me, and this is where I live. But I will not forget who I belong to. I'm a daughter of God. I'm not white or black or Mexican or African or Swedish or European. I was born of a tribe on this earth, but I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am a daughter of the living God. I've got a brand new nature, and there are things that I have access to that no one that doesn't know Jesus Christ and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can't even imagine what God has in store for us or for my life every day. So why would I lower myself to listen to foolish people that don't know what's going on, when God has said, you can do this. Whatever rut you're in, God can get you out of it. Whatever situation you're in, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's an addiction or a problem, and everything in your life is screaming at you that you fail, you fail, you fail, you fail, you'll never get out, you'll never get out. No, you won't get out, but God will get you out. And God can change your life. Remember the law of sowing and reaping. We got to get honest with ourselves. Somewhere we got to say, help me, Lord. Help me to put the spoon down. Help me to put down the joint. Help me to put down the wine. Help me to put down this relationship that everything in me cries just to sleep with this man, but I know it's not pleasing you. Help me, God, to begin to live the life you want me to live and not the life that I want to live in my old carnal nature. Sowing and reaping. Change your mind. You'll change your life, which means you got to change your life and understand that you got to know what God wants, which means you not only have to talk to God, but you got to know what God wants for your life, which means the Word of God. that begins to teach you as you and the Holy Spirit begin to get instruction from the Word of God. If you put your Bible down, pick it back up, because it's the only thing that can help you change your mind. If you've not come to church, get back to church. It's safe here. This is the safest. You are safe in the will of God. You don't have to be afraid. Get back to church. Remember the law of sowing and reaping. Number 6, change your mind, change your life, change your thoughts. God says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, that word is hagios, holy, my way, whatever things are lovely, God made beauty. You do better in beauty than you do in ugly. You ever watched a movie and it's been a love story? It's a clean love story. Maybe it's a Hallmark. Hello, I know they're predictable, but at least we know. I watched this movie, a love story, the other day. It's about an Amish girl and her Amish friend, and how they learned and they were tempted and they learned to love God. And as the last scene, these two beautiful people looked up, and I know it was a movie, but they were beautiful and they loved each other, at least in the movie. And I thought, that's beautiful. That's actually beautiful. Have you ever seen a husband and wife dance? Have you ever seen a man holding an old man holding an old woman's hand? There are things in this life that are beautiful, lovely. God says, look at those things. Don't look at the corruption, the perversion. Look at those things. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. Remember the good report? Man, the 10 spies turned the entire nation of Israel, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of that. Talk about a rut, that's a big one. They didn't get out of it. They died in the wilderness. Whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any moral strength, nobility and honesty and integrity, if there's anything worthy of praise, fix your mind. Spend your time meditating on those things. Number 6. Number 7, last one. Don't quit. No matter how much you fall, how much you fail, how much you've tried to get out of how much you've tried to get out of that rut, you have failed and you're mad at yourself, you're embarrassed at yourself. Oh, God, I've done this so many times. Lord, I just preached this and I just did it again. That's me. How can I do this? How can I make this happen, Lord? I keep going around this mountain over and over and over again. And God says, well, go back to Galatians chapter 6 and read the rest of it. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. What is God saying? I know you're going to fall. I know you're going to blow it. There are people that are very disciplined and they won't, but I'm not one of them. I know, child, that you have the best intentions. But I know that you're going to miss the mark. But this is what I need you to do. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Yeah, you messed up. Yeah, you just had another binge day of eating and blew your diet. Everybody else is on theirs and they're all doing good. Don't look at them. Look at me. Don't look at what others are doing. Look at what I'm telling you you can do. You see, I can live my life by what's wrong with me, or I can live my life by what is right with Him. God loves me. I don't know why He loves me. There are times I say, Lord, why would you love me? I'm a screw up. I lose my temper. I'm a pastor's wife that's backslid. I swear now. Sometimes I say, hell? Oh, hell no. And I know hell's a place, God, but I don't really think about the place that I'm saying when I say that. I even have a word, my favorite word. It's an acronym, an old sailor's acronym, S-H-I-T. I found out it was an acronym. It means store high in transit from an old ship in England. That's where the word came from. And I said, well, that's got to be legal. I can say that now. Store high in transit. I can say that, God. God says, child, I don't want corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. Your daughter. If I could only show you a mirror of what you really look like, how precious you really are, and the power of grace and the Holy Spirit that surrounds you constantly, that is not visible in your physical world, but I see it all the time. You see, we're blinded sometimes by our own faults, and we're our own worst enemies. And God says, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season, you'll reap if you don't quit. God, Satan wants you to quit. Satan wants you to hate yourself. He wants you to look in the mirror and be so discouraged that you don't even want to get out of bed or try again. Satan wants you so addicted to that substance or that alcohol, whatever it is, cigarettes, whatever it is. It could be a million different things. God is saying, don't stop. Don't quit. I know you didn't get it right, but we can get it right together. Just get up and do it again with me, because I'm not going to let go of you. Don't let go of me. Let me read this to you. This is the most amazing verse. Romans 8:31 in the Passion Translation says, so what does all this mean? If God is determined to stand with us, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. So now, I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate me from God's love. I'm convinced that this love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or our future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which he's lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. God is not limited by who I am, and my life is unlimited because of who God is. Let me say it again. God is not limited in my life by who I am, and my life is unlimited because of who God is. I can stop living my life by what's wrong with me, because Satan will tell me every day what's wrong with me, and he will exaggerate it. He'll bring up the past that's already forgiven. But God says, I'm not limited by your life. As a matter of fact, your life now is unlimited because of who I am in you. Philippians 4:3 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't quit. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Get up again. Try it again. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He knows. Say, okay, I blew it. Let's do this again. And if God gives you another day, get up and live that day and spend that time with him, because he wants you out of that rut. He wants you running the race. And beautiful girl, he's got a life for you that you could never write for yourself. It's full of adventure and faith. It's full of love. It's full of beauty. It's full of hope. It's everything and exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that you could hope or ask or wish. Are you in a rut? Let's get out of the ruts. Today, remember the law of sowing and reaping. Talk to your soul. Soul talk. Number 6, change your thoughts. Change the page. Get out of the book. Switch the chapter. Change the channel. Get on what God says about you in life, not what this world is saying or the devil. And number 7, don't you dare quit, baby girl. Don't you dare quit, beautiful girl. Don't you dare quit, older woman of God. Life isn't over. Life's got a good plan for you. God loves you. He thinks you're amazing. So listen to him and stop listening to everything else. I hope you got something out of today. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.